How are you tracking? How have you been this week? The highlight of my week this week was going to the electric vehicle event at Memo Hall on Saturday. And I tell you, I actually learned a whole lot of things about electric vehicles that I had no idea about before. So that was just an amazing event. And if you missed it, well, have a look at the AEVA, the Australian Electric Vehicle Association website, aeva.asn.au. And wow, you will be amazed at the developments in that area. Very exciting. We might talk about that later in the program. Well, it is the 24th of February. I want to acknowledge the passing of Rob Jordan, fellow presenter and long-term supporter here of Community Radio this past week. And wow, what a loss, Rob Vale, you. And yes, thank you. Well, just an amazing contribution from Rob Jordan. So what have you been doing this week? Are we out of COVID or are we still in it? Are we restricted or aren't we? Do we have to wear those masks? Do we have to check in when we go into places? We're all a little bit confused, aren't we, about just what we can and can't do these days and, well, having to adjust to different ways of working and 2022. So this morning I thought it would be absolutely terrific to have someone on the show who has given a lot of thought to our mindset, the way we think, the way we adapt to challenges, and at times mental health becomes a major issue for us. And so my very special guest this morning via Zoom is the amazing Dr. Bob Rich. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Bruce.
Fantastic. Now, I'm just going to turn your volume up there a little bit, Bob. And wonderful. Bob cheekily says that he's a newcomer to Healesville, having moved here in 1978 to join the Muramura Cooperative on the top of Mount Toolabong, known to most of us. And Bob, I know because I saw him at the electric vehicle event on Saturday, is involved in all sorts of things, and that includes being a volunteer driver for HECI, a member of the Healesville Environmental Watch Association, and co-secretary for the local branch of the Greens. Bob describes himself as a professional grandfather, and his job specification is to work for a survivable future for the young people of the present, and a future worth surviving in. The amazing thing that I find about a short bio I have of Bob here is that he has published now 19 books. Wow, I am impressed, Bob. That's amazing.
Oh, well, it's my way of having fun. And as I was saying to you before we started our interview, there are 7 magic bullets to being able to survive and feel good, or at least, you know, not buckle under in any situation. There are geniuses at survival, and they and people studying them have pulled out what you need to do to cope.
Fantastic. And we're going to hear a bit more about those 7 bullets. And I'm going to challenge you a little bit about a couple of your amazing...
I was going to say that creativity and fun are 2 of those. And because I'm a grumpy old man and have no sense of humour, I can make people laugh.
I don't describe you as grumpy by any means, Bob. And having read some of your work here, it's incredibly thought-provoking. And we have the challenge this morning in a little bit less than an hour in trying to convey some of the amazing, the amazing components of what you've written and your insights. And Bob, would you agree that this whole COVID, the 2 years that we've experienced here in Victoria has been a big challenge, hasn't it, for all of our mental health?
For sure, especially people whose livelihoods have been destroyed or threatened. But even apart from money, people are social beings. One of the 7 magic bullets is social connectedness.
There you go. I knew we'd get to them, Bob. No, that's true.
If you go to bobswriting.com/ psych, P-S-Y-C-H, firstaid.html. My seven magic bullets are set out there.
Terrific. Okay. And Bob, you've just produced another book, which is From Depression to Contentment, From Depression to Contentment, a self-therapy guide. Is that something you've been working on during this COVID lockdown period?
No, I started it in about 2005, but writing fiction is more fun than non-fiction. So I sort of let it gather dust in my computer and add to it and so on. And then when I decided, right, I'm going to do it, it took me about 3 months, sent it off to my publisher. He said, nah, too long. People don't buy a self-help book unless it's under 50,000 words. So I had to chop it in half. And so that what way I did that, I put lots of outside references in there and homework and stuff. And then the bits I cut out was the seed of a second book, Lifting the Gloom. So the two go together like main course and dessert. Anyway, the From Depression to Contentment book is a self-therapy in your pocket. Just think, you don't have to go out, you don't have to pay money to a therapist. It's with you anytime, and you can work through it at your own rate. Complete confidentiality.
Wow, fantastic. We look forward to drilling down a little bit. Let's, Bob's given us a couple of tracks here to just get us in a slightly more reflective space. So let's have a listen. course, listeners, we don't, well, routinely play classical music here on Yarra Valley FM, so that was a very pleasant change. And Bob, you better tell us a little bit about that piece.
Well, that lovely sound is the oboe. I have a friend who plays it, and on her door she has the oboe, an ill wind that no one blows good.
Who said you didn't have a sense of humour there, Bob?
No, well, other people have a sense of humour. They laugh at what I say.
And is that a favourite piece of yours?
Well, it's one of perhaps a few hundred favourite pieces. I don't play favourites with people. Just, you know, it's like my favourite colour is the rainbow.
There you go. Bob is the author of From Depression to Contentment, one of 19 publications. Bob, I'm very impressed. It's a self-therapy guide. As Bob said before, we had that amazing music piece a moment ago. It's something that you can use yourself. One of the people who's written a review here says the book is empowering, empathic, and written with great intelligence. Wow, there you go, Bob.
I can fool anybody.
let's link it, if we can, with the mental health challenges. I mean, depression. Let's just talk more broadly about depression to start with. Is it? Can we generalize and say that COVID, the whole COVID debacle, the whole pandemic, whatever we want to call it, has really, really challenged people's mental health, particularly in the area of depression, Bob?
Yes, many people have been very badly affected, particularly young people. See, in my book, first we have sort of general understanding, then therapy, which brings people from suffering. I don't like terms like mental illness. People have chronic suffering, long-term suffering. So from there, you can use standard psychotherapy to get up to normal, which is the walking wounded. And then from there, we can use positive psychology to get up to being able to cope with anything. And I've recently finished running a course, a five-week online course, which was organized through the Greens, so they're all Greens members. I had six lovely people, and it focused on the positive psychology aspects. And they've benefited enormously. And so have I, actually. I've learned from them.
And, Bob, I'm just wondering, for those who perhaps are less inclined or have less knowledge of psychology as a practice, you know, as a profession, is the publication something that's easy to read? Is it something that people can pick up and work through themselves?
Yes, it's deliberately written. When you write anything, what you should aim for, a book for adults, is something an intelligent year 10 student could read, right? You don't use big words, you don't use convoluted sentences. The Australian Army engineers have a motto, keep it simple, stupid, kiss.
Yes.
So that applies to writing.
Let's go back a long time, Bob. When did you write your first book and what was the motivation back then? You told me off air that, you know, you write because you like to share your insights and empower people and so on. But what was that first book way back when and how did that all start?
It all started in 1980. I was making mud bricks in gumboots and some teenagers kidnapped me. They had a boys versus girls soccer game and they were short of one male. So they grabbed me and I went boots and all and of course slipped on the muddy boots, tore a cartilage in my knee. And let me tell you, that's not a good idea. Ended up in hospital and there I was bored witless. And so borrowed the hospital typewriter and wrote an article for Earth Garden magazine about mud bricks.
Great.
And that took off. And I built up a huge following. And so a couple of years later, the then editor or publisher of Earth Garden, Keith Smith, and I started collaborating on a book. That came out in 1986, and the fourth edition went out of print in 2018.
Wow.
And during that time, it sold hundreds of thousands of copies. And when my daughter, at 21, she's now 42, so half her life away, went travelling around Australia with Wolf Willing Workers on Organic Farms.
Yes, the good old Woofers.
Yeah. My book was on the shelves of about 80% of her holds.
Fantastic.
So that was the start of my writing.
Wow, the mud bricks. You've come a long way from there, Bob.
Hmm.
Yeah, terrific. Are you going to be writing? Don't tell us what it is. But are you immediately writing your 20th book?
I'm working on about 5 different books. One is a book on grief, if you have lost a loved one, and that also ties into COVID and climate change. Climate change has killed more people than COVID has.
Mm.
And cancer, there is an epidemic of cancer because of all the horrible poisons we put on our environment and because of ongoing stress. Stress handicaps your immune system and the healing powers of your body. So meditation is important, and the tools I describe in my books on depression reduce your stress.
Yep,
a good. So that protects your health generally as well. Not just your mental health, but your physical health.
And they're very closely linked.
And another one is, I really hate the way society looks on human nature. Human nature is magnificent. It's wonderful. But it's overlaid with this culture that rewards and encourages the worst. And I want to switch global culture into something that rewards and encourages the best.
Mm.
So this book is a collection of short stories titled Real Human Nature.
Mm.
And it shows all the best in people. So I'm having fun writing short stories for that. And each time I find a contest and I enter it in the contest, and if it doesn't win, so well. All you can do is the best you can do, and that's okay.
There you go. Let's have another time to reflect on what Bob is sharing with us. And Bob, here's your second selection this morning. Let's have a quiet listen.
Thank you.
my very special guest here in the studio via Zoom, there you go, fooled you, is Dr. Bob Rich. And Bob, one of the quotes you have on your website here is, may you live in contentment, may you be healthy, may you rise to your challenges, and above all, may you grow spiritually. That seems like a favourite quote of yours, I reckon.
Oh, one of several. This music is by Freddie Chopin, who's one of my favourite people. In fact, my connection with him goes back several lives. In a previous life, I've had past life recourse, which I've written up in a book called Ascending Spiral, which is my fictionalised autobiography. It had to be fictionalised to protect the guilty. I don't want to but I used to be able to play him.
Wow.
And in this life, basically, my wife recognised me because of piano playing.
Okay.
Both of us have our favourite composer is Chopin, Beethoven second, and that was one of the ways she recognised me.
Wow.
Anyway, you were asking about what are the books I'm working on. My publisher has a series, 101 Hints On, and he's got about 10 or 12 books on it, and I've edited most of them because I do editing as well. And he wants me to write 101 Hints About Depression.
Okay.
So that's another one I have to work on.
And you've also got one that you've already written, Sleeper Awake, which is set 1,500 years in the future, Bob, and draws attention to the effects of the current environmental destruction.
Yeah, it's after the cataclysm has hit Earth, and I've got a lady who has herself put in cryogenic storage to save herself from cancer, but instead of being awoken in 10 years' time when they've got a cure, she's awoken 1,433 years later. And so we see the new world through her eyes.
Terrific. Bob, can I come back and just, the position that we're in at the moment, those listeners this morning, many of us have, well, we've either had COVID or we have family members or friends or neighbours or work colleagues or we've been, locked down seven times over the last 2 years and so on. And that really has tested us in terms of our resilience and so on. I'd be interested in your insights just into perhaps if I could be tongue-in-cheek and say that not everyone listening this morning will have the pleasure of reading your book, which...
Aww.
Well, there might be a few that don't, Bob, sorry, but and for those who do want to find out more, I'll give the contact in a little bit, which is From Depression to Contentment, a Self-Therapy Guide. But Bob, for those who, listeners, who sadly may not get to read your book, what sort of key messages would you want to give?
All right, well, for a start, there's a lot of information at my blog, which is Bobbing Around. So if you do a search for Bobbing Around Dr. Bob Rich, it should come up.
Terrific.
There are something like 30 tools of positive psychology. So if you're not in need of therapy, you can go higher. As I said, normal is the walking wounded. And the most powerful is a Buddhist tool, although it's also part of all the great philosophies, Confucianism.
It's a bit of a mouthful.
Christianity, Islam, Judaism. But I'm a Buddhist, so I have the Buddhist version, and it's equanimity or acceptance. So whatever is, and it's okay. When you can do that, nothing will hurt. There is a man called John Kabat-Zinn who has developed in the 1960s a course on dealing with severe chronic pain. And there are people who go into it's an 8-week residential course. People go in with a morphine pump in, and they come out and the pump is switched off. The pain sensation is still there, but they don't need to hide it anymore.
Mm.
And it can equally be applied to emotional pain. And I practice it all the time. I look around at our crazy world And I see things like, you know, Prime Minister waving a lump of coal around, and the Labour Party favouring gas, and all this idiocy.
We'll come back. We might come back to the.
But then, I can say it's okay.
Mm.
Whatever happens is okay. We can die one at a time, or billions at a time. Either is okay. We can die before birth, or 120 years later. Either is okay. Even suffering is okay in the long term. When I was 5 years old, I fell over and got some gravel into my knee. That was terrible. Now I can suffer far worse injuries and shrug them off.
Mm.
You can do that.
You're listening to Dr. Okay. Bob Rich, author, among many other things, local, Hillsvillian, and Bob is the author of 19 books and counting. And Bob, just amazing insights you're sharing at the moment around resilience strategies and ways of looking at the world very differently. We'll come back and continue the conversation. But just before we do, a couple of upcoming events I just want to mention. The Gladesville Primary School have their fifth annual Twilight Show and Shine Market. I've been to the last couple. And that's on Friday the 18th of March, so 3 weeks from now at 5 o'clock. And there's going to be entertainment and market stalls and all sorts of cars and all of that. So I'll give you the details about that in a couple of weeks. And then closer to home, the Hillsville Mini Film Festival on Sunday the 27th of March. So a couple of great events in March. And the theme this year is A Taste of Scandinavia, and three Scandinavian films. It's kind of an all-day thing. Again, if you haven't been to one of the Hillsville Mini Film Festival events, Sunday the 27th of March, and I'll give you more details about that closer to the event as well. But put them in your calendar at least so you don't miss them. And good morning, listeners. My name's Bruce Argyle. For any first-time listeners, you've joined us for our regular Thursday morning Community Conversations program, where I talk with interesting, different, amazing, all sorts of people from the community, hear all about community groups, things that are happening. And if you or your group want to tell your story, then please get in touch with the station, and we'll make sure that we get you on an upcoming program. My very special guest this morning via Zoom is Dr. Bob Rich, a self-styled grandfather to all. Bob, you've got so many stories to tell, but off air you were just saying that you wanted to share a couple of very positive psychological tools with us too. So let's hear them. We'd love to hear those.
Okay. Research shows that the most powerful positive psychology tool is gratitude. Look, at one time I had constant severe chronic pain, and I was working then before I retired, and I worked 10-hour days, had Panadine Forte with me, and didn't bother to take it. I just used the tool I described before of simply accepting the sensation and not wanting it to go away. But I remember one night I went to bed, and I have a nightly gratitude list. And on that gratitude list I thought, thank heavens, today the pain never went above 7 out of 10. So wonderful. No worse than 7 out of 10. That's gratitude. It focuses attention on what is good in your life.
Yes.
And attention is a searchlight. Whatever it shines on stands out, and whatever it doesn't shine on goes in the background. And it's also a fertilizer. Whatever you put it on grows. Then the other very, very powerful tool is forgiveness. The Buddha said, anger is a hot coal you pick up to throw at someone else. It is your hand that gets burnt.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's done you wrong and you hold a grudge, that's a load you are carrying. And if you can let that go, you're much better off. Now, at my blog, Bobbing Around, I have a tab at the top saying stories, and they're free short stories. And one of them is called Gratitude, and one of them is called Forgiveness.
Okay.
So they're short stories, they're fictional, but they illustrate the concepts. And these are both from one of my books, which is Lifting the Gloom. And there is another tab at the top of my blog, which is Bob's Books. And what? It's a list of my books.
And Bob, Lifting the Gloom is a whole series of short stories and essays that you've written, yes? Yeah. And we should just say, listeners, if you are interested, and I know many of you will be, in accessing any of Bob's publications, just go to his blog, Bobbing Around, and people will be able to find, as you say just now, Bob, the list of publications there. Terrific.
Well, full-length books.
Yes, fantastic. And you've been incredibly generous in sharing insights and annual works as well, Bob. I'd be remiss, because I know this is an area of passion for you, that if we didn't talk also about the things that are happening in the environment, Bob, at the moment, and in terms of climate change and so on. It's such a big topic that for listeners, for many of us, it's almost overwhelming at times. And so I thought this morning, why don't we just spend a few minutes talking about where do people start? What can people do at home in the Yarra Valley, around the challenges of climate change?
Action is necessary, not just possible, but necessary at many levels. Do only some, and it's tokenism. On the personal level, it's live simply so you may simply live. Every time you spend a dollar, you fuel the destruction of the world. I kid you not. So my wife and I have voluntarily lived below Australia's official poverty level since 1978, except when, you know, I had too many clients or sold too many books or something and the money came in, but then there are charities to give it to.
Yes.
So Medicine Sans Frontiers, for example, or Environment Victoria, Friends of the Earth, you know?
Yep.
Lots of charities we give to. Living on very little.
Living simply.
But basically, every time you buy stuff, you're wrecking the earth. So live simply so you may simply live, and look for energy conservation rather than new gimmicks.
Mm-hmm. What do you have in mind when you say that, Bob?
Well, we have all LED lights in our house, but nevertheless, an empty room needs no light. We have solar power, and in the daytime, anything that we use comes off the solar panels. Nevertheless, if the temperature is not too uncomfortable, then we just let nature handle it.
Mm.
Because that's a little bit of power exported to the grid, which is a benefit to somebody else.
Bob, I know you ride your bike a lot, but you were also at the electric vehicles presentation on Saturday. What did you at Memo Hall? What did you think of the presentation, and what were the learnings for us to take away?
The presentation was fantastic, particularly Bryce Gatton. But then I have decades of knowledge on the field. I'm not an expert on it, but I do know a lot. And yes, electric vehicles are about a million times better than internal combustion engine fueled ones, but they still have their problems, and not using a car is still better. Okay, in the Yarra Valley, we've got to have a car. There is no option. But you can have the smallest, most efficient, best maintained, and least used car. You know, multiple tasks for one job, car sharing, stuff like that. Public transport when possible. And as you said, the bicycle.
I often see you on your bike.
Anyway, the next level up is sign petitions, campaign, join with others, and put pressure on basically politicians to do the right thing. And also use your money to put pressure on businesses to do the right thing. Absolutely refuse to buy certain things and refuse to buy from businesses that do the wrong thing. And there's a huge amount of information about that.
Mm.
The next level is protest. Basically, Gandhi in India and Martin Luther King in America showed the power of peaceful, non-violent protest. It's necessary. There's exile and the children's school strikes, and everybody's a student. I'm a student of life, University of Hard Knocks and all that.
Yes.
So joining in, being part of the power of drawing attention. But all of this is still insufficient. There's also, because after all, the world is run the way politicians make decisions. So politics is also important. And that's why, sorry if this is against your rules, but that's why I'm in the Greens.
Yeah, well, we are apolitical, as you know, for Community Radio, Bob. So we'll leave that one be for now. But of course, respect that in your green T-shirt that you're wearing today, which says, I think on it, if I can read it correctly, professional grandfather.
That's right.
There you go, which is absolutely fantastic.
Because I'm a professional grandfather, I want to do everything possible to provide a good world for the young kids of today.
Fantastic. My very special guest here on Community Conversations this morning has been and is Dr. Bob Rich, a long-term Hillsvillian, despite what he said on his humorous introduction, since 1978. Wow, that's nearly 45 years, Bob, in the Valley. Where did you come from before that?
We had 10 addresses in 7 years. We specialised in house-sitting for academics who went off on their sabbatical.
Fantastic. Bob, in the time we have left, and sorry, I should give a second plug, just in terms of people who want to obtain Bob's latest book, From Depression to Contentment, A Self-Therapy Guide. And I've had a look at it. Thank you for sharing it, Bob. And it's as you say in the introduction, it's not a book to simply read, but it's a handbook for changing your life. And it says there are homework tasks in many places. Some of them will need weeks to implement. Take them seriously and you'll have done very powerful self-therapy that has a good chance of improving your very world and yourself within it. I like that. But go to Bobbing Around, your blog, and that's where you'll find the information about Bob's latest book and the others as well, Bob.
Yes, I've got a list of 19 books there. And also, as I said, there are a whole heap of free short stories. And if any of your listeners are writers, I've got a lot of essays on writing.
I didn't know that.
And various essays. One of the most important ones for me is something I wrote in 1998 called How to Change the World. And that's a tab on the top. And that's my manifesto for doing just that. So I'm inviting you and everybody else to join my team after reading that essay.
There you go. How to Change the World. And I'm putting words in your mouth now, but I think what you're saying is that we start with ourselves, Bob.
Well, that's all there is, really. The universe is one, and every part of it is the whole universe. So you are the whole universe. So you've got to start at the focus, what you can change, and do it well enough and it'll spread.
Bob, we've got 2 minutes left. What would you share if you only had 2 minutes left?
I wish you not to have the life you want, but the life you need. All that matters is what you take with you when you die and what you leave behind in the hearts of others. Everything else is monopoly money. What you can take with you is love, compassion, empathy, decency, or the opposite, hate, resentment, aggression. So you go either up or down. What you can leave behind is the same. But focus on the heart, the love, and you can let go of everything else.
There you go. Wise words. My very special guest this morning has been Dr. Bob Rich.